Welcome to Women Talk About Horror, the podcast where women talk about horror. I'm your host, Kitty, and I have Starly with me again today. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure. You know how much I love this kind of stuff.
And today we're going to talk about Final Girls.
One of my favorite subjects.
Same. So, Final Girls are that character in the movie who is the last girl standing. And I love that in horror, even though like some people think it is a very male dominated genre, that you know it is the final girl or final woman who is the last one standing,
and so often the focus of especially American horror, I do think that the final girl has transitioned to other foreign media and film, but she's definitely, that's an American trope, and I can't say I hate it. I love a good Final Girl film.
Same. I was reading up on it, and it was an interesting thing. Like, it's been written about by a lot of feminist theorists, and one of the things that kind of stood out to me is the Final Girl makes male audience members commiserate with a woman in a way that they might not have.
Yeah. What a unique way to put that. And you know what? You're right. I have seen even some of the most staunch misogynist sympathize with the final girl and be like, well, that's just terrible. But when you bring it into a real world aspect of like, hey, something similar like that happened to me, not obviously a supernatural killer from beyond, but perhaps assault, they're not as willing to make that connection with a real person. So slow ways that we teach society. Empathy, perhaps?
Just the concept that women are people.
Yes, it's a very strange concept, but one that needs to be learned.
Yeah. I didn't realize that the actual term final girl is actually fairly new. We've had final girls since, classic horror movies, but the actual term first came in a book in the 90s.
Yeah, 1992. Very interesting that that was what it was termed, because we all knew what it was, but it didn't have a real name for it. So I think it's just a really interesting thing that the heyday of it was in the 70s and 80s. And yes. Now we're here with this awesome term, and now we're even turning the trope on its head.
You know, one of my favorite final girls and just favorite actresses, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, who can't love her as a person and an actress?
Yeah. And she's still killing it in horror-related things. The new, she's in the new Halloween movie, right?
Yes, and she was in the most recent one and the one that's coming out, which I believe is called Halloween Kills, where she's playing, there seems to be, I'm not going to get into Halloween because that's not the focus of this particular podcast, but there are strange overlapping realities with the Halloween franchise. They kind of dip in and out. There's stuff that's canon and stuff that has been retconned, and it's a whole thing. But the fact that she knows where she started and wants to go back to it is incredible, because Jamie Lee Curtis has enough money, she doesn't need to do anything.
No.
And she chooses to come back to this character.
Well, even like the show, like when she was on Scream Queens, like that was just, you know, a comedy. I mean, it was a horror comedy, but you know, she didn't have to do that kind of work.
No, she chose to do it. That was just like whenever you're watching, sorry to jump off, but when you're watching Westworld and Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it, he's in it because he wants to be. He doesn't have to do shit.
Yeah. And you can tell they're having fun. And like, I just love that. Like, people who just enjoy working and enjoy what they're doing, because it comes off so well.
And I mean, of course we know her from Halloween, but there were so many movies in the 70s and 80s she did where she was the final girl. She's one of our most famous scream queens, and she gets it from her mother, Janet, who was, you know, in Psycho and one of our original scream queens as well. But I think we start to really see the emergence of the final girl with Jamie Lee Curtis and her contemporary counterparts.
Sometimes it feels weird to me to say final girl when most of these
characters... They're adult women.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I think one of our few final girls was Carol Ann, who's an actual girl.
Yeah.
In the Poltergeist films. but...
Oh, gosh. When she turns around and that they're here.
Yeah, always haunting. If you haven't mm-hmm. seen it, it is absolutely a cornerstone of cinema yes. and horror.
I, for a little kid, she was just... It was pitch perfect.
Yeah, and for anybody who doesn't know, if you feel like being sad, go ahead and Google what happened to her. It was very tragic.
It was. That's the one Dominique Dunn was in, too.
Yes.
She played the older yes. sister. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why people say it was cursed, unfortunately.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they brought up that the older gentleman who played the creepy pastor died. And I'm like, I'm surprised he wasn't dead in the film. Did you see the movie? He looked like an actual living, breathing crypt keeper. So, I mean, they're like, and he died too. I was like, yes. I'm pretty sure he, like, I think it's noted that he had cancer when he was filming. I'm like,
right,
yeah. Guys, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you're that old mm-hmm. and you smoke a lot. Sorry. Yeah. I don't think that's part of the curse. Now, Dominique, absolutely. But not the older gentleman.
Right, yeah. So, one final girl that I never really thought about, but I love this movie, Alien. And
oh.
Ellen Ripley. I never, for some reason, because she's I mean, it's horror, but it's also sci-fi. Like, it just never yes. connected in my brain.
So much of the sci-fi, like, I will separate it from horror, but almost mm-hmm. exclusively the sci-fi, quotation marks, that I watch is mm-hmm. horror sci-fi. So a subgenre of the horror community. Sigourney Weaver knows how much her fans appreciate this. The fact that she mm-hmm. was... She's been the voice in several horror movies, you know, but the fact yes. that she was the director in Cabin in the Woods, I mean... Again, she doesn't have to do that. She was doing it because she knew how great it would be for the people watching the film. Yes. And she actually cares about her art and giving back. And, mm-hmm. you know, some people get a little too serious for return to horror. You know, horror is not a massive moneymaker. It's low-budget films. Even when we're talking in the millions, it's still, you know, it's not a multi-million blockbuster that makes billions like Avatar or The Avengers.
Right. And so it's not something that's going to get people awards.
No, because there's still not, I mean, didn't Jordan Peele win for best comedy when he did
right,
Get Out?
Yeah.
Which is like, because there's no respect for it yet in mm-hmm. our, you know, community, which is a shame. But oh my gosh, yes, Ellen Ripley. What a fucking unit.
Yes. I love that movie so much.
I love all of them. People don't like the third and the fourth one. I will put that shit in and enjoy it. So much fun.
Yeah, it's crazy though how much that franchise has grown.
It is, and I really like that it seems like the big bad in the film is also female, because we have
the queen
alien.
Yeah,
and very clearly the queen. So it's interesting that our final girl is up against another woman. You don't mm-hmm. always see that. Sometimes it's you know, the oppressive thumb of a male shadowy figure, but in this case, it's girl against girl, as it were, even though one is a xenomorph, mm-hmm. and it's a really interesting aspect of the entire series.
Right. Now, we talked about this a little off of the podcast, but Naomi Harris in 28 Days Later is...
What a masterful film.
Yes. I mentioned that it's more thriller than horror. But mm-hmm.
I find it very suspenseful. Mm-hmm. We're building a lot of suspense with that first scene where he wakes up, which, let's be honest, The Walking Dead almost stole that entire opening scene shot for shot.
When he's just walking around the mm-hmm. town. And...
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Terrifying. Haven't we all had dreams like that?
Yep.
And then you meet this astute woman who's already been living in this world much longer, for 28 days, more than mm-hmm. our comatose patient. She does not hesitate. When her companion she's had for this entire time shows up and gets infected, there's not a single hesitation in her. She takes him out. Mm-hmm. She faces something that a lot of final girls do face, but it's something that I think maybe male watchers don't fully understand the struggle. She faces a very serious and real rape threat and to the other final girl in the film. And she does something that you have never really seen in film, where she's like, hey, take this, gives her some sort of like Oxycontin or something so that she doesn't have to feel it or deal with the situation. She's like, we'll deal with this after. Let's get you through this horrible experience that is about to happen, which gives you the indication that the character herself has already been through this, probably before the end of the world.
Final girls, you know, they kind of started out as these characters that they lasted, but they were usually rescued, or, you know, they just happened to make it. She's a character where she's fighting, and she herself is the reason why she's making it through this movie.
Absolutely, and we do have that moment of where he shows back up, and it throws off the people who were trying to attack her just enough for her to get the upper hand, but she's the one fighting. She's the one with the plan. She's protecting our very real ingenue in the film, which is interesting that she's in it and she's not the ingenue.
There's been a shift in Final Girls, because, and I think it was probably in the 70s and 80s, but before, you know, even in Psycho, not the Janet Leigh character, but the actress who plays her sister, she makes it to the end after almost being killed, but she has to be rescued by the police officer. And then you kind of saw this shift to where the final girl got more agency, and her own actions and her own willingness to make it and fight is what made her outlast everybody else.
Yeah, there's definitely been a shift in the final girl. One of the things that I thought was interesting, because I am going through a rewatch for like the sixth time with the Friday the 13th films. Everyone who's listening to this will know the final girl is usually our chaste virgin. She does not engage in sex, drugs, alcohol. She is not a 3D human being. She's something to be put on a pedestal and to want for the males to save her, you know?
Right.
But if you watch Friday the 13th, which, what a perfect example. It's in the middle of the golden age of these films. We meet Alice Hardy, played by Adrienne King, and she right away is having an affair with the person running the camp. We're not sure if he's actually married or not, but they have a very secret love affair. So right away, she's not a virgin. And then she's smoking weed in the film, which usually you see them refusing that, but she's more well-rounded in 3D and makes it to the end of the film, which was so interesting to see it in that time frame, them already turn the trope on its head.
You know, it seems like a simplistic trope, but there's actually a lot of nuance to it. And there's a lot of ways, you know, to be a final girl, or for them to subvert it, or to kind of turn it on its head a little bit. It was also with Samara Weaving in Ready or Not. Oh, she literally has to fight her way out of there.
What an amazing... You want to talk about new Scream Queen. The screams that come out of her in that film are visceral and just incredible. And she really does get put through the ringer in that fucking movie.
Yeah, she was great. I feel bad that when I first watched it, I didn't really see who was in it. And I feel bad that for most of the movie, I thought it was Margot Robbie, who's another great actress.
Yes. They both commented on social media about being confused for each other.
They need to play sisters in something.
How fun would that be? Ready or Not is so fascinating because, again, we don't have a virgin. She's smoking cigarettes. But she has, like, more boundaries than most of these final girls. Most of these final girls are people pleasers. Yeah, sure, no matter what, I'll help, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, that seems strange. And then she's literally fighting for her life. Anybody who hasn't seen it, I highly suggest the film. It's fantastic. I can't wait to see what else Samara Weaving does. And another one of our going out of the mold for traditional, like, we're not even getting into our amazing women of color who are final girls yet. But Kristen Connolly, who was in Cabin in the Woods, she even makes note of it at the very end of the film. And she's like, virgin? They're like, we work with what we have. Because she was not a virgin. She was having an affair with her professor and, you know, engaging in all kinds of typical young adult activities that could have gotten her, in quotation marks, killed for not being that perfect final girl.
That was the fun thing about Cabin in the Woods, because it did take all these tropes that you think you know, like the final girl, you know, they had, like, the jock and, like, everything, and they did you think you know what movie you're watching, but you don't.
No, the whole time you don't, and it's amazing for a film that was that kitschy. The rewatchability of that film is great, if we ignore the fact that it was made by Josh Whedon, which is currently a sore subject for a lot of people, understandably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but things like that too. Horror movies that are still fun, I love. Because I think sometimes, because, the genre isn't taken seriously, so they try to overcompensate by taking the movie too seriously.
Yeah.
And you can really lose a lot. Yeah.
You get a boring horror film. I've said this before to you, that editing is so important. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to make it too serious, you edit all the soul out of the film, and then you're like, I don't give a fuck if these people die. Who are they to me? You haven't built up the characters at all because you're taking yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. I think that's what's good about kind of the change in the final girl, that it's no longer like this virgin that needs to be protected who's never done anything wrong in her life, because who is that person actually? No one.
No, that's not a well-rounded, 3D, multifaceted woman. That doesn't exist.
Right.
What I can't wait for, and I'm going to really go on a tangent for this, we kind of see it, and I'm going to have to look up the film. I think it's called Assassination, where we do have a trans actress in it. And technically, they're the four final girls. I think I got the name of that movie right. I watched it recently, and it was pretty pretty enjoyable. And it deals with slut-shaming and all of these really hard things that younger people have to deal with now, but I would love to see a final girl in a very tropey, typical horror film who is trans.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the next big step.
Yeah, and I think they're making, it's slow change, unfortunately, but even the new The Craft movie, one of the girls was trans.
Oh, fantastic. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
But aren't they their own worst enemies in Craft?
I think so.
So not so much final girls, but we're at least getting trans people in horror. And not as a fucking joke, but as an actual real character, which is great. Right. That's what we need.
So I actually haven't seen this movie because it scares me a little bit. Because...
Oh!
And I don't know why, it's just a thing from my childhood, but it's just always been in my head, like, this movie's just scary to me. Candyman.
Candyman is iconic. And if you feel up to it, we'll sit and watch it after the panorama is over.
Yes,
after the
we need to have a viewing. We need to have a viewing party. Because I know I'm going to love it once I watch it. But, like, there's just a little part of my brain, like... Yeah.
It's such... It breaks so many tropes for the horror industry at the time. Hopefully you've gotten a chance to watch Horror Noir, which is all about black actors in horror films, and, horror is black history. But I absolutely love Virginia Madison in Candyman, and I hope you don't mind. It's, a 25-year-old film.
I know spoilers, don't worry. Yeah, I do. Okay,
so for anybody who hasn't seen this 25-year-old film, spoiler alert, Virginia Madison is wronged by her shitty husband and eventually succumbs to the Candyman and becomes an urban legend herself. So our final girl goes through hell and high water, does the heroic thing, saves the child from dying, and gives herself up instead. And usually that's the end of it. She goes to heaven, she's in the clouds, it's a Mufasa moment, it's beautiful. But no. Virginia Madison becomes like a new form of Candyman, and she's like the Bloody Mary, and it is so fucking delicious for any woman who has been, spited and wronged to just be like, yes, look at her getting her last dig in.
Mm-hmm. I want to watch it so bad. Like, I just need to, I know it's just a little bit of a mental thing that I just need to get past, because I know there is the new one coming out soon.
Yeah, it's obviously been pushed back because of COVID, but I've heard amazing things from people who have seen early versions of the film, not the final edit. Sidebar, going with Candyman, just want to ask this. Did you see that terrifying series of TikToks where the girl pulled the mirror out of her apartment?
Yes. Yeah.
That literally happens. That literally happens in Candyman. I was freaking out watching that TikTok.
Does it?
It literally happens in Candyman. It is fucking terrifying. She takes the mirror out of the girl's wall that she is trying to find out more about Candyman, and she goes into a different apartment covered in graffiti with the Candyman's open mouth. And I literally thought when I was watching that TikTok, is this just viral video? Like, we haven't done that
marketing?
In a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's viral marketing. I was like, we haven't done that in years, but is this what that is?
Yeah. Now, I was so worried because, like, I know she was, like, but going in, I knew she was in New York, and I was like, someone's squatting in there, and they're going to be mad that she's in there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that apparently the, you know, the landlord was going to take care of it, but that's still, like, could you imagine, like, you just move a mirror, and there's a hole into a completely another apartment?
Yeah, another girl had it, too. She lived in the same apartment, or apartments that were just built the same way, and she could also, hers was a little harder, but there was stuff hidden in the back of that, too, and I'm like, mm-mm. There would be caulking around that mirror so fucking fast.
Yep.
Mm-mm. I'm not playing.
Nope. Yeah, I think what it was about the Candyman when I was a kid that scared me was the bees coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, I was about to say that he's covered. And he did that for real. He's amazing.
I read that he actually negotiated that every time he got stung, he got, like, extra money.
I hope to God that's true, because he is horror movie icon. I don't know if you've realized, but he is also the person they keep running into in Final Destination.
No, I love Final Destination.
He's a coroner in the first one, and then continues to show up in the other films.
Right.
I can also hear his voice a mile away. Hellfest, the movie Hellfest. I was like, wait a second. One of my absolute favorite horror actors. Mm-hmm.
Jada Pinkett Smith, too, as a final girl. I love her.
I do too, and I'm sad that she has not done more horror films. I know that she is very diverse as an actress, but I would give almost anything for Jada to make a return to horror. Because Demon Knight, hands down, top 10 favorite horror films. Like, definitely in there. I absolutely love it. And she is one of our earlier black final girls, you know? And I think people kind of glazed over the film because it was, you know, Tales from the Crypt and whatever. But come on, have you rewatched the film recently? It still holds up, and god damn, Billy Zane is sexy. I don't know how Jada's character did it. I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm going with you. Sounds great, bet.
I loved it. She does, like, every type of movie too.
Yeah, just she's very, very diverse. I love her as an actress. I loved her in Gotham. After she was gone, I pretty much stopped watching.
Yeah, I couldn't get into Gotham. I really wanted to.
It really jumped the shark way too early on, but that's not what we're here to discuss. Yes.
That's a different kind of horror.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of black women, Final Girls, one of my favorite actresses of all time, Angela Bassett.
Oh, reinvented the side eye in season 3 of American Horror Story.
Yes.
Also, it's like people forgot that she did horror and that she's really good at it. And then she jumped in on American Horror Story and was literally sex on a stick. The woman exudes power in every role she's in.
She just was eating it up. She was so
good.
Oh
my god. She
was
so good.
And you could tell she loved doing it.
And in Vampire in Brooklyn, what an interesting film. You know, everyone, I think, forgets, and hopefully they remember now, because Coming to America 2 was hilarious, but they forget what a powerhouse Eddie Murphy is. And Angela Bassett as our final girl in that film, incredible. She could have had the entire world at her fingertips, and she chose morality over her own needs.
She did this in American Horror Story too. I mean, she's playing basically an immortal witch, but she still brings, like, a humanity to it. Like, you still feel for her, even if she is doing things that are questionable. You're still like, yes, this is exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah, she can bring me to tears. She's a fantastic actress who does not age. She is actually an immortal in real life. I look at pictures of her, I'm like, she's just getting more beautiful.
She really is. Yeah. And I think she's been having a lot of fun doing the American Horror Story seasons, because she came back for a few more after that.
Oh, yeah. Her guest appearance in Apocalypse was everything I wanted to be. And she said left and right, like, I'm not in it. You know, I wish he had called me, but I'm not in it. And then she shows up in it, and I scream at the top of my lungs, even though she's only in it for maybe 5 minutes. I was like, ah! That's another example of actresses really knowing who their audience is and giving a fuck about their fans.
Yeah, I love her so much.
So much. I think that I would not be able to find my words if I met her in real life.
Yeah, like she's just so beautiful and like I don't even know what I would say.
She also helped, if I read that right, way back in the day, Chadwick Boseman, when he was in school, because she does different scholarships, and they ended up being tied together throughout his life, which is just amazing to me.
Aww.
Yeah, in very different ways. You should look into it. It's very touching.
Yeah. I think she, yeah, I've read that she does scholarships for black students who are interested in film and acting.
Yes.
What should you imagine, like,
Angela
you're
Bassett giving choosing you.
right, yeah.
Yeah, touched by divinity at that point.
Another woman of color that I didn't think about when we were first going to talk about this, but now it's a movie I saw forever ago. Brandy and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yes.
Because everyone always talks about,
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
yes.
Yeah. They forget about Brandy because she was allocated in a very stereotypical way to the black best friend, which happens way too often in all film and media instead of being the main character, quote unquote. But Brandy, I feel like having for only for the first time seeing that movie in the last 6 months, I've never watched either of those films and I watched them back to back. I felt like Brandy stole every scene she was in. She was very enjoyable to watch, and I was so happy that she was a final girl.
Yeah. Well, because that, I mean, that's always like the joke of the thing. Like, the black character dies first. It's
It's
just
always,
become
and
such a.
this says so much. It's either the black character or the dog who dies first. We, as media consumers and people who create this, we equate, and mind you, I love animals, but we equate people of color and dogs on the same level of throwaway characters. That says a lot, and that's something we need to look into.
There is progress, but it is way too slow. I mean, Keke Palmer was in Scream Queens, and
And
she
she was
made
very
it.
enjoyable.
She that just seemed like everyone was just having the time of their life on that show.
I love that show so fucking much.
Yeah, and I still love Keke Palmer for giving us the meme of when they're she's taking the lie detector test, like in an interview, and they show her a picture of Dick Cheney, and she's like, "I don't know who this man is."
Bless her heart.
She just
Did
pulls, she's
you?
like, she's great.
Yeah. She is super funny. I don't know if you've had a chance to. Have you seen the movie Sweetheart yet?
No.
Definitely a very interesting one. It's carried completely by what did we decide her name was? Kiersey
Yeah,
Clemons?
Kiersey Clemons.
Kiersey Clemons, who's playing Jennifer, and it really is a modern day horror film. I'm not sure what time it's actually supposed to take place. It looks like it's like early 2000s and not modern time because of the technology that we see in the film. But our main character is a black woman, and she's fucking incredible, and it's a creature feature. And
Oh.
when her a very subtle, awesome creature feature where we don't get to see the creature in full light, which I always prefer. I like that. Let your imagination fill in the blanks. But it's just her on this island for the majority of the film. Her shitty white boyfriend shows up and instantly gaslights her. And so does the shitty white best friend of the boyfriend, who is a girl. And you come to find out very clearly that they're judging her for overreacting and having PTSD and like you're making up racism pretty much, when it looks like they have eaten their friend when they were out at the on the ocean because like a boat had
What?
crashed. Yeah, it seems like they have eaten because she finds parts of a body that's like completely dismembered, washed up on shore, and she's like, "Well, that's weird. Probably because they ate him, and then the current brought the pieces that they threw overboard."
Oh
So
my
they're
gosh.
completely like, "There's no monster. You're just a dumb bitch." And yeah, there is a monster, and it fucking cleans house. But not her. Our girl makes it through, and it's really
She
fucking
knows what's
enjoyable.
up.
She does, and she is not a perfect character. Like, she's not a perfect person. Which makes her more endearing because none of us are. All of us have lied. All of us have cheated at something. All of us have had made poor choices, and we get to see a really 3D version of a person with her. I can't wait to see what else this actress does, because she was captivating to watch. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of the original kind of Final Girl being, like, this, you know, kind of pure figure is kind of a leftover thing from the Hays Code, because in the Hays Code, characters who did wrong had to be punished.
Had to. Yeah. That was just the way it was. And they really drove that home during our golden era between the 70s and 80s. Any girl who was like, hey guys, let's go down to the malt shop and we'll drink liquor behind, you know, she instantly is dead. It's like, see kids, she deserved to die because she liked jazz and liquor. Give me a break.
But yeah, I wonder how much of, like, it kind of started out kind of out of that kind of thing.
I think it completely did.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely evolved since then, and I think, you know, now we have, you know, the movies and shows kind of making fun of that. But, you know, you still sometimes get the movie who still try to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to put something into your head that we did not discuss before the podcast. Mm-hmm. Where are our not-so-typical body shape, maybe a super tall girl, super buff girl, maybe a girl who's overweight, where are those final girls? They're hardly ever represented at all. And one of the slightly overweight girls that I can think of, and I do say slightly because now you see this online all the time, like, I'm so chubby. I'm like, girl, you're literally a size 4. What are you talking about? It's gone insane with media. But the only one I can think of is, like, Friday the 13th, 4 or 5, and she's killed pretty quickly. She's just killed off. But where are bigger final girls? I can't think of one off the top of my head. Can you?
No.
Yeah, that's definitely something we're missing in representation in horror films.
I mean, the only character I can even think of in horror who's not, a typical, like, Hollywood body shape is, hold on, let me look up her name. I feel bad that I don't know her name. In, American Horror Story.
Oh, Kathy Bates?
No, well, her, and then also the, black actress.
The one who played Queenie.
Yeah, Queenie.
Gabrielle... can't remember her last name, but yeah, you know, now that I'm saying this, I remember too, in Urban Legend we did have Loretta Devine, and she was not only not 20 years old, she was a little older and she was a little bit bigger, and technically she was a final girl as well. Not the final girl we were focusing on in the film, but she breaks a ton of those tropes, which we just need more women who are real well-rounded women. People want to see themselves up on that screen.
Yes. It's a Gabourey Sidibe.
That's it. Yes, thank you. Totally forgot.
I read her memoir, by the way, and it's hilarious. She's so funny, and it was just a great book.
Well, she was funny as fuck as Queenie. I will say that. I still have not been in a good enough mood, like mentally stable enough to watch Precious. I'm still waiting for a good enough day because it hurts. It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yes. Oh, she was also in Antebellum. I didn't see Antebellum. I heard a lot of mixed opinions on that one.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that in the new show, Them, that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much good horror coming out. Yeah.
And it's finally becoming more diverse, which I've seen plenty of me, you know, quotation marks, I've seen plenty of me up on the screen. I'd like to see the stories of other women from different walks of life. I want to see what their struggles are because they're unique and different.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, my family is Caribbean and I grew up in a Caribbean neighborhood. You don't see a lot of, there's not much Caribbean horror that I can think of. I can think of a few books.
It's funny too, because you guys have really got some great mythos.
We do. I mean, Puerto Rico is where Chupacabra started. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And just the entire history of the Taino is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And you definitely dealt with your own nightmare with that, with colonization.
Right, and I think there's some interesting stories that could be told there.
Maybe that's something you need to work on.
Yeah. And I know a few books that are, you know, explicitly that I have tried to find. I still think there should be more, and I would love to see a movie, you know, set in the Caribbean, set in Puerto Rico, or, you know, with Caribbean ties.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about it, there's not a lot of representation for that. And that if somebody who's listening to this wants to comment and let us know if there is any good Caribbean horror representation. I would love to expand my knowledge on that and be more well-rounded.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite and strange final girls is Tree Gelbman from Happy Death Day 1 and 2. That, I'm so sad that the series is not continuing, because I don't know if you've seen them.
Not?
But the first one, no. The second one did not do as well, and I understand why, but I love the choice that they made. The first movie is a classic horror Groundhog's Day film. We mashed horror and Groundhog's Day up. The second film goes fully, takes the sharp left out of horror and directly into sci-fi. It jumped genres. Mm-hmm. And most people can't do that. They just want to repeat. They want, you know, the same formula.
Right.
Because Friday the 13th is pretty much that through the whole thing. Like, let's look at Halloween. Halloween 3, when we did Season of the Witch, oh, people fucking lost their mind. They're like, where the hell is Michael Myers? This is bullshit. When you switch things up like that, people get very offended. They like the same shit. But Tree Gelbman is a shitty, classic white sorority girl who basically is taught a lesson and takes it in, and we get a completely different person by the end of the film. So she goes through a redemption arc, which you don't usually get to see with a final girl. And she is very tropey final girl. Extremely fit, popular girl, blonde, blue eyes, tan, you know, she hits all the marks of a final girl. But then we find out she's not any of those, like, typical internal things. Very fucking cool how they did that.
Yeah.
That'll be another thing we'll have to watch after the panorama is over.
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
I really like both. So are there any other final girls that you're just absolutely in love with? I mean, we haven't hit on some of the classics, which is, you know, Nancy Thomas, Sydney Prescott.
Sydney Prescott, because I know they're doing another Scream movie.
I'm so excited. I don't know who's going to direct, because Wes Craven is no longer with us.
Right.
But Sydney Prescott, Neve Campbell, damn, fucking amazing. Like, she goes from being that classic ingenue as the movies progress to just being a full-blown badass.
Mm-hmm. I do. So the one thing that does crack me up about the first Scream movie is, and I didn't know this because I was much younger when it came out and not watching horror movies, I didn't realize they had really pushed Drew Barrymore being in the movie.
Yeah, they do that a lot. Like, there's a ton of horror movies that have Danny Trejo on the cover, and he's in the movie for maybe 35 seconds.
Right. Well, because they know that's going to get people to come in.
Yep, and at the time, I didn't realize that Scream and The Craft came out in the same year.
Oh, did they?
Very close to each other. Yeah, I had to look into that. I did not realize that that was a thing. So, because in my mind, being a high schooler, like, Scream and The Craft really pushed me towards that gothy aesthetic. So Neve Campbell was a big star in my head. I didn't realize that she was not the biggest star. But then again, Drew Barrymore, I guess, in her own rights, Firestarter. She's been the final girl slash villain plenty of times anyway. It was interesting that what they did with her, because if you're going into that movie, and it's 94, 96, whenever it came out. And you're thinking, wow, Drew Barrymore's in this really early, but she's clearly the final girl, right? She's blonde, she's fucking Drew Barrymore. Who else could possibly be? Oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
But then, we get a darker-haired final girl, but we do get that classic thing of, like, oh, she's a virgin, and when she loses her virginity, her psycho fucking boyfriend's like, well, now you can't be a final girl anymore, because now from one time having sex with me, you're a slut. God damn it. Ridiculous.
Men. Yeah.
Men.
I mean, I know I'm a little younger, but to me, The Craft and Scream are the movies that made, like, Neve Campbell a big star. Like, those are
they
what
are.
I grew up knowing her in.
Yep, that's what I knew her into. I didn't watch Party of Five. Is that what she was in? I never watched that, but
I didn't,
knowing that she's coming back to it. I don't know if you have seen Neve Campbell lately. She looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend is holding it down. I literally watched that movie Skyscraper just because she was in it.
Yeah, I saw pictures that she posted. I think it was an Instagram picture she posted of, like, her getting ready to, she was excited about being in the next Scream, and she looked great.
Yeah, she
and
really
Courtney
does.
And Cox was in it. Like, she's not really, I mean, she made it through, but, like, she's not really, like,
She's not the focus, but she is. Right. She is technically a final girl.
Mm-hmm. She made it through.
And she's almost died in that last one. I only recently watched the one that has Emma Roberts, our Scream Queen girl, and American Horror Story actress. Have you seen that one?
No.
Well, do you want a spoiler for it?
I don't mind spoilers, yeah.
No, neither do I. Sorry, anybody who's listening. You should have watched this movie. It's already like 15 years old. I think it's Scream 4 or 5. Don't quote me. But Emma Roberts, turns out she's the younger cousin of Sydney Prescott, and she's the fucking villain.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and this is what got our lovely Emma Roberts, who is a modern-day Scream Queen. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoy watching her play such a frigid bitch in so many things. She's also really funny, and people don't give her enough credit for that.
She is.
She's very funny. But she turns out to be the villain in the very end of the film, trying to kill Sydney.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the little twist there.
I kind of like when you get, like, this character that you didn't think was the bad guy is. Like,
when I can't figure out who the bad guy is, I'm so fucking thrilled, because...
Yes.
When you
sometimes
watch...
Sometimes it's so formulaic. Like, you're just
Yeah. And I consume horror films daily. I watch a horror movie every fucking day, because I'm a lunatic. So, you do start to see it, and it... My daughter is always like, wow, you could write these. I'm like, I've just seen thousands of them. So I'm like, okay, this guy's gonna pop up here. Turns out that's his old dead uncle. This girl's really this ghost. That person's been dead the entire time, etc., etc.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I love horror movies, and, like, there is something, there is a fun to, like, you know, knowing what you're getting into. But also, like, going into a movie and not knowing where this is going. I felt like that the whole time watching Us.
Loved Us. Didn't know what to expect with Us or with Get Out, but the ones that I know that really stuck out to me that fucked with my head. Well, you know what? I will say I knew a little bit of Get Out. I was like, I don't trust these white rich people. Like, listen, even as a white girl, I do not trust those who are rich and white. I'm like, no, thank you. I'm gonna go over here.
Dad started being like, I would have voted for Obama a third time if I could have. I was like,
cringe.
Yeah.
Cringe. You get goosebumps being like, ew. Ew, you're so weird. too much. But the two other films like that, we're really getting off subject, so I apologize.
It's all good.
The Autopsy of Jane Doe, did not know where it was going. Absolutely top 10 horror film.
That was so scary, too.
Oh, so, and such a low budget. They did such an amazing job. Brian Cox is incredible. Need more of him in my horror movies. Hereditary. I could not. Every time I thought we were going to take a left, we took a right on Hereditary. Mm-hmm. I could not figure out the formula. I could not figure out where it was going. And that gave me back the fear I don't have with horror films, because I always know where the story's going. Mm-hmm. And I had no fucking idea where that story was going to go. And that is for the end of Get Out as well, because I was like, well, here we go. Now a cop's gonna fucking shoot him. Fucking, this is bullshit. This is... Oh, wait a second.
Just the sigh of relief when it's his friend.
Like... And we don't usually get that.
No. Well, because even, like, I know this is getting a little off topic, but just a black male main character in a horror movie, the end of Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
he gets shot because they, the original.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's disgusting that happens, and it is such a good. And I saw that on History of Horror that he didn't realize how impactful that scene was going to be, and it did completely change horror films forever. But because he makes it to the end, and racism still got him.
Yep. Well, you know the thing I love about Get Out too is, in any, like, other traditional horror movie, the girlfriend, I can't remember who plays her. I know she was in the show Girls, which I didn't watch, but I can't remember the actress's name. But, like, in any other kind of, like, traditional horror movie, she would have been a final girl.
She was playing the final girl, and she even plays into that on the stairs, where she's like, I can't find the keys, babe, I can't find the keys! Mm-hmm. And it turns out, well, I guess our final girl and that was our final boy, and I'm very proud of him.
Yes.
Yeah. Allison Williams is her name.
Yes. She plays
Rose, which, man, I was so happy that she got what was coming to her.
Yeah. Because you think, like, you know, going in, like, you almost, any other horror movie, she would have been, like, the final girl.
She would have been the final girl. And mm-hmm. we would have been focusing on her and not on him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He would have disappeared for a little while in the movie, and maybe we find his dismembered body later on. And she goes, oh my god, my boyfriend, I can't fucking believe this, and stuff. Yeah. But we didn't do that, because Jordan Peele is a fucking mastermind.
Mm-hmm. The Lupita Nyong'o and Us, where you get, like, she makes it to the end, but then, like, you have that...
Does she?
Mm. Right, like, who is she really? Yeah. Oh, that look that she shares with the son at the end as they're, like, trying to drive
away.
And
he figured it out. He's mm-hmm. like, wait a second. She's also technically the final girl in a movie called Little Monsters.
I haven't seen that.
Her and Josh Gad, not my favorite. She was excellent in it, but it was not my favorite because there's a creepy, like, uncle-type white guy hitting on her the entire time. And I'm like, leave this poor woman alone. She is queen in her castle. She does not need you. Yeah. You know, she doesn't need to slum it with you, dude. But basically, it's a zombie outbreak and only the kids get it. It's pretty funny, but a movie that was earlier done like that a couple of years before had Elijah Wood and was called Cooties. So it's not a new concept.
Yeah.
I've seen too many horror films. I'm going to bring up the fact that Nancy Thompson from Nightmare on Elm Street, which people often remember the very cartoony shit that Freddy did, but the very first film was super fucking dark and really scary. And, like, you know, she has waking nightmares where she sees her friend being dragged, her body bag of her friend being dragged through the hallways by an invisible force and just blood. And, you know, she's sleepwalking and seeing this, and people around her are like, what the fuck is she seeing? The fact that she did a few of those movies, disappeared for 20 years, you know, she did other acting things, but the fact that Heather came back for A New Nightmare and was playing herself in the real world. Absolutely incredible and truly, truly a queen of a final girl.
Yeah. I know we keep saying this, but I love, like, actresses who keep doing horror movies after they make it big.
Yeah, because like I said, they don't make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So
they're not going to have any awards. Yeah.
Nope. You have to have a love for the genre to do it, and I appreciate that they care about their fandom.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Girl with All the Gifts?
Love it. Love it. That was an excellent book, too, which I'm sure you've also read the book. Yes. She is actually a final girl because she is younger.
Yes. Yeah. But she also figures out, you know,
what's going on. And,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What she is, and she makes it work. Mm-hmm. She is this interesting amalgamation of a human and a zombie, and she's brilliant. The actress is phenomenal, and I can't wait to see what else she does. I don't have her name in front of me, but she was such a very captivating little girl. I mean, she was playing opposite Glenn Close.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to have some acting chops to be in a fucking movie with Glenn Close.
Yeah. Her name is Sania Nanua.
Well, she was phenomenal. I can't wait to see what else happens. It's funny because for a while
she's only 13 years old.
God, she's good. Really interesting that I kept accidentally reading books right before they became a TV show or a movie. Like, I read Horns right before Horns became it. I read The Girl with All the Gifts right before that came out. And I was like, oh shit, they're making a movie?
Mm-hmm. And they did really good with it, I think.
Very faithful.
I know they changed some stuff, but they kept the heart of it and they kept her character.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people had that same shitty thing. Well, I didn't think she was black and blah, blah.
Mm.
Are you seriously going to choose this hill to die on?
Yeah.
Like that poor little girl in Catching Fire or whatever.
Hunger Games, yeah.
Yeah, Hunger Games, yeah.
Amanda Stanberg.
Well, it was just ridiculous that they were like, I didn't think she was black. And I was like, it's funny because when I read the book, I thought she was black.
Well, I mean, she's described as like, you're not, people's reading comprehension is not where they think it is.
No, it certainly isn't. Y'all bitches need to read more and better.
Right. But also for a character like the one in The Girl with All the Gifts, what does it matter? Like, she's a child who it's, you know, half zombie, half not. Like, why is that what you're worrying about in this story?
Yeah, and then they're forgetting that this representation like this matters. who knows, because it wasn't that scary of a horror film, who knows who saw it and went, wow, if this actress can get a role and be this amazing, what can I do? You know,
I mean, it's like, and, just, it's great, like, you, I mean, this isn't horror, but like Star Trek, just having Nichelle Nichols on it,
oh, God.
Has led classic. To May, yeah,
the literally first... changed history.
Yes, Nichelle Nichols being in Star Trek is the whole reason why Mae Jemison wanted to be an astronaut.
See, isn't that magical?
And she was the first Black woman to go into space. So can you imagine, listen, like, if she didn't have that, you know,
representation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is plenty of white people, and I know I'm preaching this as a white person, but you have to stand up and say, call out your own people for their bullshit. They're like, well, I don't see why it matters. Of course you don't see why it fucking matters, because since the day you were born until current time, you have seen a reflection of yourself advertised and marketed everywhere. You already have all the representation you could ever fucking imagine. You made that point earlier about how there's not a lot of Caribbean representation, and especially being where we live in Florida, there certainly should be more.
Yep, and I mean, it's, you know, I say Caribbean, but, like, each island has its own kind of mythology and its own traditions, like...
Oh, it's so fucking cool to read into.
There's so much there, yeah.
I just recently learned about the whistling thing. And that freaked me out. I was like, that's fucking cool, can we please do that in a horror movie? Like, if you hear whistling at night, don't go outside, and I didn't realize that's something that is in, indigenous cultures and in Caribbean cultures. It transcends both. And I'm like, well, that makes it even more realistic to me, because
there's
two completely different cultures are both like, no.
No, we don't play with that. But it's
fuck
it's,
that.
Caribbean culture is so influenced, especially in the Greater Antilles, by indigenous culture in the Caribbean. Like, you know, my people are Taino. My the coworker who's from Dominica, she is Carib, and she's, you know, very heavily Carib. She considers herself that. There's still very much that culture there, and there are some great mythos and stories in there. This is not one of them, but it's, you know, a thing that people in the Caribbean talk about. I'm surprised there's not a Chupacabra movie that's been.
There is. Yeah. No. it's a terrible creature feature with an awful it's definitely passable. It's not bad enough to be entertaining. Does that make sense? Because some movies are so bad, like trauma films, that you enjoy them.
I mean, because you see a million Bermuda Triangle ones, which it's just an empty space of ocean, but you don't get actual cultural.
You're not getting the soul of the culture. Yeah. Yeah, there needs to definitely be more of that, and let's get a Puerto Rican final girl. Let's get a Cuban final girl. Let's get a Jamaican final girl. Where's the representation for that?
Yeah.
Where do I sign the petition?
Yeah. I was just thinking, too, about how mad people got at Jordan Peele when they were like, well, do you think you'll cast more white characters in some of your movies? And he was like, no, that's not the story I'm telling.
That story's been told thousands of times.
That's exactly what he was thinking. It's like, I'm not interested in telling stories that have already been told. And then people are like, oh, he hates white people. And it was like, okay.
Oh, my God. All, his wife any is reason white. To make yourself a fucking victim. Give me a fucking break. Yeah. That man is a genius. Let him do whatever the fuck he wants, because it's going to be incredible.
Like, why would you want him to tell stories that have already been told? Like, why do we want that? Like,
you
should.
You know this from being around white people. As soon as we're left out, we're like, but I don't want to be left out. Be like, okay, well, this isn't for you. Be like, but it has to be for me. No, it doesn't. Sit down and shut up, white people.
It's like that. It's like that meme from the Twitter, the bird on Twitter. It's like, I am uncomfortable when things are not about me.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a severe narcissistic streak running through white culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they try to be like, oh, he obviously hates white people, ignoring the fact that
I don't see
he
it.
Is married to a white woman, and they have a mixed child together.
Yeah, I don't see any of the hatred for white people.
Mm-hmm. He's telling stories that he wants to tell, and that's what he should be doing, and he's very good at it.
Yeah, I have to say, his symbolism is incredible. In his films. I didn't realize how scary. I don't like rabbits in general, but I didn't realize how scary
they could be.
They are Oh yeah, and he's like he doesn't like them either. And I was like, yeah, I feel you, buddy. They're like the meth addicts of the animal kingdom. You don't know what they're gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, just everything that he thinks of that goes into it, and I even enjoyed the Twilight Zone
I didn't get to see it,
episodes he
but it's on
did.
my list.
Oh yeah, and in those he's, there's so many characters. One of the episodes that I really liked, the main character is an indigenous Alaskan woman.
Yeah, I would like more Final Girls, because if we're going to be talking about the Final Girl trope and how it is important, it has pushed pop culture. Are you familiar with the term the less dead? Do you know what that
No.
is? In true crime, the less dead are women, sometimes men, but mostly women and children, who go missing. And we do not get to really hear about them. If a blonde child goes missing,
The white child, the blonde, the white woman
the blonde
syndrome,
white
yeah.
child, they're going to absolutely, there's a, statewide man search and everything like that. But if a little black girl goes missing, does she get the same media coverage? Absolutely not. Especially indigenous women, they're more at risk. So sex workers, indigenous women, women of color, children of color, they're more likely to be victims of violence and for the system to just completely overlook them. So we have this whole thing of these less dead people who don't get the justice that they deserve. And if we start representing them in media, like in the Final Girl type tropes, maybe people will start giving a fuck.
Right. Well, it's like the
And
thing
as
that
much
we
as
talked about at the beginning where, the final girl trope makes men commiserate with women, it using it to make white people commiserate with people of color that don't look like them. I
Yeah,
mean, we
black, indigenous
shouldn't
people
need
of
to be
color.
told.
Let's No, but if we have to spoon feed people for change, I'll fucking spoon feed people for change. And
But
it's
that's
interesting that horror can be a conduit for that, but it can't.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of that in The Twilight Zone. There's the main character who is an indigenous woman who does make it to the end. But I mean, Twilight Zone is more thriller than horror, but it definitely has those elements. But I do definitely do recommend it. It's very, very good, very well done.
So when it comes to classic slasher flicks, which is where we mostly get our original Final Girl tropes, right? You have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which we have, that classic thing, really where it all started. You have Friday the 13th, and we have Nightmare on Elm Street. So those are some of the big bads. And then we have Halloween, of course, which gave us one of our most famous final girls, even though I think in the second one, doesn't she die? Can't remember. It all kind of, like I said, that timeline's funny. But the one that I need a chart, guys, because that one gets really fucking convoluted.
It does.
I need to rewatch them, but I'll be honest with you, I was never afraid of Michael Myers. He never fucking scared me, so I didn't watch them as religiously as other people. And I do like Season of the Witch, to so suck my dick. But the one that really hit me was the Hellraiser franchise. I absolutely, as a little budding goth child, I absolutely fucking love the idea of the Cenobites. I love the practical effects in that movie, and I loved our final girl in that one, which is Christy Cotton. And what's really interesting about her in the literature, she eventually, what's that saying, and I'm gonna butcher this, either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Did I get that
Yes,
right?
you did.
Yeah, all right, thank you. So that's exactly what happens to Christy. Eventually, she becomes the priestess of hell and kind of takes over for Pinhead. And apparently, in the movies, which I have not seen the fifth one, because if it's not Bradley playing Pinhead, I don't want anything to fucking do with it. But yeah, I'm very purist with that kind of shit. So, Christy Cotton, played by Ashley Lawrence, makes an accord with the Cenobites. She's, I think, in the first three, and she comes back for this fifth or sixth film that I read about, and basically trades her husband's life and all of his mistresses to the Cenobites for her life. And I'm like, yeah, all right, girl, get it. She's like, oh, you're gonna cheat on me? I have literally been to hell and back, and you're gonna cheat on me? So that little bit of revenge as a final girl I think speaks to all of us, because at some point we've been cheated on as women. And so it's like, okay, so two wrongs do not make a right, but however, get it. You'll have to. Have you seen the Hellraiser franchise?
I saw the first one a long time ago. I think I was in college. Oh,
we are going to get together and just have... I'm not going to let you sleep. Still, it's going to be a marathon.
I was still a baby horror fan at the time, and I was still kind of freaked out about how they looked.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's very gooey.
Yeah. Which is ironic, because, like, I started off, like, what got me into horror as a genre as a whole was Asian horror.
Really?
Like, I can watch Japanese and Korean horror every day, except there are two that I can't do. The Ring, which we do have final role in, and The Grudge.
For the people who are listening, where do you want to see this go? I've made my comments on that. I totally want to see trans inclusion, bigger actors. Let's see a drag queen final girl. There probably is one. And if you know what it is, please
contact, tell us.
Contact the podcast, because I am always trying to consume more horror.
Mm-hmm. We should do like a podcast one day of just like us watching something for the first time and commenting on it.
Oh, I love that.
So if you guys know any movies, we should do that too. Let us know, please. If it, especially
Something
if it's something that we're, you know, we've talked about in this episode.
Well, I think that wraps it up for I Final Girls. Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for talking with me about this.
Please. So, I'm stuck in my panini and I need to talk to people. So it works out.
Yeah. So you should give Carly a follow at Starly with two R's _ Spellbound on Instagram. You can follow
please.
The podcast at Women Talk About Horror. Give us your thoughts if you have recommendations for us to, you know, react to, or if you know of any movies that fit what we are looking for that we talked about, please shout them out. Let us know who your favorite final girl is, what you want to see from final girls. Just let us know.